Returning back inside the GFL Memorial Gardens in Sault Ste. Marie, continuing your Sault Video TV pregame show. Sault Video TV, the store that service built the last independently owned TV sales and service company in Sault, Ontario. Jerry Liscombe Jr. alongside Greyhounds head coach John Dean. Coach's comments here tonight. And Diener, 30th win of the season, came back on Wednesday. And before we get to specifics of the night, how about getting us going with just your recap of the night as a whole?
Well, I mean, what a difficult first period. Carter George obviously keeps us in the game, and our special teams does a world-class job of, keeping the puck out of our net, which was mostly Carter, and but also, scoring a power play goal. That's what good teams do. You're not playing well. You're having a tough first period, tough 20. What are ways to dig yourself out of that? And obviously one is everyone needs to be better, keep their game simple, find a way to be productive. But the other one is, good goaltending and good special teams. And we end up 1-0, probably don't deserve to be, but it allows us an opportunity to relax. And then the second period, I think, is dominant. And the third period is less on the dominant side. And they do generate quite a bit. But I think score effects have a little bit to do with that. It's, when you're up 4-0, 5-0, the game changes. They take more chances. They're more aggressive in the offensive zone. We might be a little more lackadaisical. I know people don't like to hear that, but it's just the reality. So, overall, it's an okay game for us. I think considering the depleted lineup, top two centers out, three core D-man out, really happy with our effort, really happy with our compete. And I don't want to be leaning on goaltending consistently. The good news is the stats bear out that we actually, outchance and out-expect a goal our opposition, but at the same time, we don't do it without goaltending and special teams.
Well, let's just continue on that thought and dive a little deeper. You've already alluded to Carter George, 17 saves to start that first period for him. Talk about the effect his performance in that first, not only keeping the team, obviously, in Saginaw off the board, but the calming influence and that building block for his teammates because of his actions on the ice.
Yeah, and this is what elite goaltending does for you. And again, it's not something we want to continuously lean on. We're a team that generally is known for shot suppression, chance suppression. So we want to make sure we maintain that identity despite how good, Carter has been. But yeah, it's calming. And I could hear our leadership group between the first and the second discussing that it's unacceptable and that we need to start going to bat for our goalie and making sure that he's not the guy bailing us out. It really makes the guys want to fight and step up and, find their game. And it's special. I don't know what else to say, Jared. I'm hoping we're not talking about this consistently over the next 20 games. I'm hoping it's one of those ones where, he saves our bacon periodically, not consistently.
Taking a 1-0 lead into the second period, there was a shift about 3 minutes into the second. By that fourth line of Kaczynski, Zielinski, and Andrew. Multiple shots, attempts, just driving in and around that goal crease area. I felt the shift allowed our play to snowball. Do you feel it has as much of an impact as I did?
Oh, there's no doubt. It's they start everything for us. Our fourth line has been just super ecstatic with the way they're contributing to the game, whether it be through physicality, chance generation, momentum swings, care factor, competes. Like it's been nice to watch them buy into the program. And it's no secret that there's limited ice time for the fourth line, and for them to be so motivated and have such a positive impact with the little minutes that they're currently getting is beyond impressive, and their teammates and coaching staff respect them immensely for it.
Two more goals came in that second period. First, Justin Kluche finished off an odd man rush, a nifty three-way passing play. Then Jeremy Martin kept his scoring streak intact. Those just weren't regular goals, were they?
Those are absolutely stunning goals. Brownie, actually, just the way he fires the puck across to Travis Hayes, and Trav finds Kluter, and what a goal that was. I mean, no doubt, or top cheese. And, our second goal, Marco Magnosa starts it with just a stunning play in our own end, and he takes the puck back towards our goalie, makes a really safe play to the lightning bolt that is Jordan Chiron. Jordan Chiron makes an elite play to Jeremy Martin, and Jeremy Martin scores a goal that he make that look so easy. How beautiful was that, Jer? And he's turning into a pretty special player, isn't he?
You know, I like finding the oddities or different things to talk about in these interviews. And I have to mention this only because I said it on air and I said it to this individual personally. But as the 13th forward, there was a shift by Blake Arrowsmith in that second period where we saw speed I don't think we've seen out of him this year. Do you remember what I'm referring to?
I 100% remember what you're referring to. And our bench was electric. Again, another young man who doesn't get a ton of opportunity, and when he does, his team really rallies behind him, and he rallies behind the team. Really excited about his effort, his compete, and he showcased his speed, and our bench is going crazy. And those are things that lift the spirits of your team, and I'm happy that he could have a positive impact on the group.
10 the regulation time, get a couple more goals in the third period. You talked about it earlier on, but a period had a lot of whistles, plenty of penalties. Happy with how the team managed the circumstances and the way things kind of transpired?
I think so. I think we still give up too much. Seeing 37 shots really bothers me, Jer. But again, special teams, weird period, up 4, 5, 6, nothing. Game management, I would put in the average category, but tough to argue with 6 Cobb.
Player-wise, you said earlier on about how between the first and second you heard your leadership group talking in and amongst the room, and two of those leaders, the two overagers on this hockey club, Marco Mignosa, Justin Kluche, both four-point nights for Miggy, career goal 100 for Kluter, career high four-point night. Put it into words how those guys put things on their shoulders.
Well, Marco's been putting the team on his shoulders for a while now with you know, Fish. It's tough not to mention Fish. This guy's logging 30 minutes a night. It's crazy. But Marco has been doing this consistently all season long, and he finds himself climbing the leaderboard in points. And, you know, Kluter has really built his game over his, 8 games now, Jared, maybe 7. He's really built his game consistently, getting better and better and better and better. And 4 points, his parents are there, his brother's there. Yeah, both those guys, they did what 20-year-olds are supposed to do. We have a depleted lineup, and the 220s step up in a big way. Kluter's first goal is, it's outrageous. It's a beautiful goal.
Kluter, has his game evolved quicker than you would have thought of when he came here just a few weeks ago?
To be honest, a little bit, yeah. His style of play that makes him effective is extremely demanding. It's very hard to play. He's high energy, physical. He's always in the mix, which is exhausting, both mentally and physically. And, you know, to basically almost have a full year off, like that's what it felt like for him. And to go through some of the battles that he's gone through sickness-wise, yeah, I didn't think his pace of play, his energy level would be as high as it is. But with Kluter, nothing surprises me. This guy's energizer buddy.
And before that game, we talked about Charlie Ashcroft coming in, suiting in on the blue line as one of the 50, making his OHL debut, meeting this team on the road. Obviously, I'm sure meetings amongst the coaches and getting in action. Just maybe talk about game one for him.
Yeah, really happy with him. The biggest thing for me, you know, this is going to be an adjustment of pace for him. The biggest thing that excited me about his game was no fires were caused from his stick. Very poised. When he didn't like what he saw, he would high flip it. He was poised, would grab players and draw attention to himself and a nice little bump out to his D partner or our centerman. So I just liked that pucks didn't get thrown away on his stick and create more issues for us. That's what I was most impressed with. And the guys rallied behind him. They were very excited to have the young guy in the lineup.
Now after 4 straight games on the road, we're back here on home ice. Exciting West Division weekend. Safe to say, puts an exclamation point on the feeling at this time of the year, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Like, you know, these are big games, and it's the team we're chasing, and our players are clearly bought in and feeling good about ourselves. And, you know, despite a couple hiccups on the road last week, you know, we're pretty excited with the buy-in from the group and the energy of the group in what historically is a very tough month or two. So exciting time in the GFL here this Friday and Sunday.
Tonight, 4th meeting of the season between the Hounds and the Firebirds. And what stands out about some previous matchups when you look at numbers is despite still looking for a win against this hockey club, we've held Flint to below 20 shots in each game, 16, 17, and 18, the 3 previous matchups. What do those numbers speak of?
You know, it's you know, I like hearing that stat because we don't like our shot totals against over the last, you know, 5, 6 games. So we do a good job against this group. We work hard. We compete. We know the magnitude of the game. We clog up the zone against a very offensive group. Yeah, it means a lot. But at the same time, 0-3. So we have to find a way to get 2 points here today.
Part of that would be offense. They've been low-scoring games. Has there been something specifically that stands out to you that maybe that's been an obstacle in producing against them so far this year?
Yeah, they do a phenomenal job of slowing us down through the neutral zone. We play a very quick brand of hockey, and they do a really good job of not allowing us to play that way. They've got a nice neutral zone forecheck that really clogs up the ice. And, you know, we've got to be willing to get pucks in behind their D and hunt and go get pucks back and spend some more time in their end.
I know things can change day to day, so I'm going to ask you this. Anything potentially new on the roster front heading in?
To be honest, we're in the same spot. You and I are sitting here and I'm waiting to get some responses on a couple of guys. We're hoping we might have a few new bodies in the lineup. I'm hopeful, optimistic, but not holding my breath at the same time. But Spence Evans comes back out of the sin bin here, and he's going to be a welcome player back in our lineup.
Wrap it up, your keys for tonight.
Well, I think you hit it on the head as usual, Jared. We got to find a way to penetrate their neutral zone, and we got to find a way to score some goals against a team that's really limited us offensively, and continue to hopefully limit them offensively. They're a very prolific offensive group.
Hounds, Firebirds, Friday night. Diener, as always, appreciate it. Good luck here tonight.
Thanks, Jerry.